This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth, formerly of VCU, is the founder and president at virginiatomorrow.com. Must reading on the great internet superhighway if you want to understand and know what's going on in Virginia politics. It is Bob Holsworth, joins us on Monday afternoons. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Coy. How are you today?
I'm good. Happy June.
Yeah, it's really, getting up, that summertime coming real quickly.
Can you believe it? I just all of a sudden woke up this morning and my daughter said, Happy June. And I'm like, is it June already? I can't believe it. This is fantastic. And of course, we had some big goings on in the last few days, which you wrote about, of course, on your website. The big news is that the Republicans finally had their convention and chose their candidate. Now, Bob, tell us, for folks here in Central Virginia who might not be real familiar with Ken, who is Ken Cuccinelli, who is now officially the Republican nominee for Attorney General?
Well, Ken's a Republican from Fairfax County, and he's very well known as probably one of the most articulate and powerful social conservative voices in the Virginia General Assembly. What's made him a very interesting figure, obviously, is that he's managed to get reelected, no punches speech, and essentially, according to all reports, electrified the crowd, more so, some people even thought, than the gubernatorial candidate.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. No surprise, of course, that Bob McDonnell got the nomination, I guess.
Not at all. He wasn't opposed, and he really has had a been in an enviable situation while three Democrats are pounding on one another. Bob McDonnell's been able to not have an opponent, able to raise money. What the Democrats have tried to do is some kind of odd division of labor, that while the candidates themselves are hitting one another, Governor Kane and the Democratic Governors Association have poured about $2.2 million through an interest group who's running negative ads against McDonnell, because the Democrats really believe they have to bring down his favorable ratings if they're going to be able to win in November.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Amazing that the DNC has already spent that amount of money, and we don't even have a Democratic candidate yet.
Right. I think it shows you how much interest the national parties are showing in the two governor's races here this year and the other one in New Jersey. Because they know that the national media are going to read these races as some kind of signal about what's going to happen in the congressional races of 2010. I think they're also going to read them as an indirect referendum on Barack Obama. And one of the things that I found very interesting this weekend was that when Terry McAuliffe responded to McDonnell's nomination, he put forward some of the boilerplate the Democrats are using, you know, accusing him of being too far right and not supporting the agenda of Tim Kaine and Mark Warner. But what McAuliffe also said, which is something I think that every Democrat will say, whoever is the nominee, is that in November, Virginia is going to be looking for a partner for Barack Obama, not an adversary. And it really seems to me that Democrats are going to try to not only make Kaine and Warner central to this race, but Obama as well. And I'm wondering whether McDonnell may have made a bit of a misstep a couple of weeks ago when he got into the middle of that flap over Obama's honorary degree at Notre Dame.
And fill us in, flesh that out for us.
Well, what happened was that there were a number of people saying that Obama shouldn't get an honorary degree from Notre Dame and that he shouldn't have even been able to and shouldn't have been invited to speak. And McDonnell split the difference. He said it was proper to invite a sitting president to speak. But because his opinions were in some ways against the teachings of the Catholic Church, he shouldn't get an honorary degree. And what struck me as peculiar about all of this is that why would Bob McDonnell, who's running for governor of Virginia, try to get into the middle of this national flap about a president who right now is still pretty popular around the country, including Virginia? And in my sense is that it also reinforced the notion that McDonnell may care an awful lot about social issues, where in this campaign, what I think he really wants to run on is as an economic reformer. So my sense was that he hasn't made too many missteps since he announced for the governorship, but I thought this might be one of them.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. The phone lines are open. If you got a question for Bob, it's 977-1070. So no matter who the Democratic nominee is, they're going to be trying to paint Bob McDonnell as too far to the right. He's too socially conservative, tied in with Pat Robertson down in Virginia Beach, and he's too far right for Virginia.
Exactly, and I think actually the Democrats have to be careful about that. It seems like they have this boilerplate campaign going against McDonnell, that he's too far right, that he opposed Kane and Warner, and that whoever the nominee is going to be the governor in the Kane-Warner tradition. And my sense is that that's not an unpopular thing to say, but I'm not sure that's reason enough today to have people support you for governor. My sense out is that there's a lot of anxiety out there, there's a lot of concern, and people are going to want to know not who your friends were in the past, but what are you going to do for them in the future? And I think if the Democrats run this backward-looking campaign, they might find out that the GOP can sneak up on them pretty easily here.
Interesting. So it might backfire.
Well, I think they have to be very careful about that. And you've already seen what McDonnell is trying to do. The Democrats are painting the Republicans as the party of no, the group that always opposes what the Democrats want to do in Virginia. And McDonnell tried to reposition himself in his acceptance speech on Saturday as the yes man. he's the person who's going to say yes to all kinds of energy exploration in Virginia, including offshore drilling, including coal. And he's claiming it's the Democrats who are going to be saying no. He's going to be saying yes to merit pay for teachers, to charter schools. And he's claiming it's the Democrats who are going to be saying no. So this is the kind of campaign tactic that a lot of people around university communities might be interested in, because it's kind of reversing the rhetorical tropes or reversing the rhetoric that you normally see.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll work, but I thought it was very, very interesting that he came out in this speech, essentially called himself a yes man, and then embarks on this tour that they then label the saying yes to Virginia tour.
That's great. It's a brilliant strategy. Yes, I'm going to say yes to all those conservative Republican issues. I'm still going to say no to the left wing Democratic issues.
Right. Exactly.
But
at least trying to position himself as having a positive agenda rather than just a agenda that comes in reacting negatively to what the Democrats say.
Yeah. Very, very smart. We're talking with Bob Holdsworth, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. We got a caller on the line. Caller, you go right ahead. You're on with Bob.
Hi, my name is Lewis, and I'm from Lynchburg. And I wanted to know Mr. Holdsworth's opinion about who's going to win the local Republican House of Delegates primary.
Oh, Lewis may know more about that than I do, but it's an interesting, very interesting primary, Coy, because the Republicans feel this is one of the shots they have at retaking a Democratic seat. You have Shannon Valentine, who's a very bright person, who's the delegate from Lynchburg. On the other hand, last year in 2008, there was a huge influx of new voters at Liberty University, and the Republicans hope that they can convince these young people to vote again in a state election. And one of the candidates on the Republican side, they have two city council people running. Mr. Helgeson is actually a Liberty University grad. I think he appeals a little more strongly to the social conservatives in Lynchburg, and he's running against, I think it's a physician named Scott Garrett. I know that's his name. I'm not sure if I have his background correct. And he's also on the Lynchburg City Council. If you think that these primary elections are often won by people who are a little further sort of on the ideological wing, then you might say it could be Helgeson. But whoever it is, they really think they have a legitimate shot if they can mobilize the students at Liberty. I guess that Democratic Club at Liberty, however, Coy and Lewis, won't be supporting them.
Lewis, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We got a phone line open at 977-1070. Can you talk about that for a minute? Because that made national headlines, of course.
And as soon as that came out, I knew that was going to make national headlines. That's just the kind of story that the national media jump on. And there's a little bit of controversy about exactly what happened and who said what. But what occurred is that the Democrats at Liberty had a club, and it was an officially sanctioned club. And ultimately, the leadership at Liberty, Mr. Falwell, decided that the club should lose its official sanction. that it could still meet in the, you know, the cafeteria, could still use Liberty facilities. But because it was, the Democrats are a essentially on the national level a pro-choice party,
right?
You couldn't just have a Liberty University Democratic Club. They, he said, they could affiliate with the pro-choice or pro-life Democrats, but they could not just have an official Democratic Club. I thought that was a just kind of a big mistake. That while legally private universities certainly have the right to say what's going to happen on their campuses, it just seemed to me that it went beyond what was absolutely necessary. And I've been to Lynchburg a couple of times in recent years, actually in recent months. And, you know, Liberty has just a tremendous presence in the community. It's had a remarkable economic impact. It's put together a number of academic programs that serve some of the companies that have moved into the area. It's generally seen very, very positively in the Lynchburg area. And I think this is kind of a step backward because it's going to brand it nationally. I was joking the other day. I was at a, I was moderating a candidates forum up in Northern Virginia for all the gubernatorial candidates, and I asked Bob McDonald, "What kind of Republican are you? Are you the kind that you know, wants guns on campuses and Democrats off?"
What did he say?
Well, he explained what kind of Republican he was, and he essentially said his priorities was going to be economic reform, though he did say he held some values very strongly. He didn't quite answer that part of the question.
Right, right.
Well,
certainly
right
the,
to do so.
The Liberty controversy, those headlines don't really help Bob McDonnell here in Virginia.
No, I don't think so. And, you know, my sense is that Bob McDonnell did come out again himself and say he was a vigorous believer in free speech. And he thought that Liberty made a mistake here. But, you know, the internal controversy has gotten very nasty because Mr. Falwell has actually asked for an apology for the Democratic group, because what happened is that they went out and it was reported in the national media that they were told that that it was incompatible to be a Democrat and a Christian.
Ooh.
And that was reported in the national media, and Mr. Falwell said no one ever said that. And he himself is now demanding an apology from the Democratic students for what he said was tarnishing the reputation of the school beyond what it deserved from this incident. So this is not going away right now.
You're going from bad to worse, it sounds like.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it develops. But as I said, my sense is that it's a little bit of a tragedy because if you go to the Lynchburg area, this is a school that's really having, I think, a very positive impact on you know, on the region.
Yeah, yeah.
And
without a doubt, yeah.
And I don't think it needed this kind of negative national publicity. It'll reinforce some of its supporters, and they'll like it. But overall, I think for a university that was making a lot of strides in the broader communities, both regionally and nationally, this is a little bit of a setback.
My guest is Bob Holsworth, the president and founder at VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, let's go to the other side of the aisle now. Bring us up to date about the three-way race for the Democratic nomination for governor. Terry McAuliffe, Brian Moran, and Cree Deeds. This a big primary, statewide primary, of course, is just a week away. It's June 9th. It's
right,
coming
and,
up very
and,
soon.
Well, you know, everybody's still very uncertain about the whole affair. You know, there was a big article in the Politico the other day, essentially trashing, I thought, Brian Moran, with a lot of Democrats saying how disappointed he was in the campaign, that he hasn't caught on. And then over the next couple of days, he won the straw poll at the Fairfax County JJ dinner. He won the straw poll of the Young Democrats. And he's out there being very, very active. So it's hard to say that exactly what's going to happen there. Secondly, Cree Deeds has really probably had a very good 2 weeks, his best 2 weeks of the campaign.
Well, thanks to the Post, yeah.
Right, and as everyone knows, it's best in the primary to have your better weeks at the end. He got the endorsement of the Washington Post. He ran pretty well in the Fairfax County straw poll. He has all of a sudden been far more of a presence in Northern Virginia than he was before. And he had not spent much of his money at all. He, I think, had followed, you know, the path that Doug Wilder had done when he ran for lieutenant governor in '85. He didn't load up on a lot of staff, but saved his money for television ads, And over the last 3 weeks, his ad buy hasn't been that much lower than Terry McAuliffe, so that's pretty impressive. So Deeds has had a good run. McAuliffe, on the other hand, continues to lead in the polls for whatever worth they are. A lot of people believe he has the best ground operation. He has the best voter identification effort, largely because of the resources he has. And he's done a lot of things right, but there's still this uncertainty about whether there are a lot of McAuliffe Democrats in Virginia. So my sense is that McAuliffe has done a lot of what he needed to do in the campaign. He's positioned himself to be very competitive. And what we don't know is that at the end of the day, will Virginians pull a lever, or will Democrats pull a lever, to have their gubernatorial candidate be somebody who's had limited experience in the state. Still a big unknown, and for that reason, people aren't hazarding too many predictions about what's going to happen on Tuesday.
Hey, Bob, and of course, this is a week from tomorrow is the Democratic primary.
8 days away.
Bob, do you think President Obama campaigns for the Democratic nominee in Virginia for governor? Does that happen? And number two, does it make any kind of a difference, you think?
Yeah, absolutely it happens. My sense is that Obama recognizes that this election is going to be read as a referendum on where the public mood is coming into 2010. I think he's going to see it as almost an indirect referendum on him. And so my sense is that the Democrats are going to want to position Obama front and center. They're going to basically suggest that Bob McDonnell's the guy who opposed the stimulus dollars to Virginia, Bob McDonnell's the guy who opposed Obama getting that honorary degree at Notre Dame. And if the Democrats had their druthers, they'll probably think the best candidate they might have in this race is Barack Obama.
And, of course, it's going to put Bob McDonnell's team in an awkward position because you're running against a popular president.
Running against a popular president, and they don't have a Republican at the same of the same stature.
Right, right. Who do you bring into Virginia? You're not going to bring Rush Limbaugh into Virginia.
Yeah, you bring Rush Limbaugh in. Who do you bring in that has anywhere near the clout, both in terms of fundraising and in appeal that Obama does? So I think that's Bob McDonnell's one of his actually biggest challenges right now, is to think about how he's going to negotiate the kind of national influence on this race in a way that can be positive. Because my guess is that Tim Kaine, if he has his way, is going to be marching around the state the last 2 weeks of October with President Obama in tow.
Wow, that's going to be interesting. Hey, Bob, before we let you go, you also wrote recently about some new changes at the DMV.
Well, you know, you got to wipe that smile off your face, right? You know, the DMV basically is going to a system of licenses that will work well with facial recognition systems. And remarkably, I didn't know this, they don't seem to work too well if you had a big smile on your face. So if you go get your license picture taken today, DMV is going to tell you to wipe that grin off your face.
No more smiling in your license picture.
No. We're all going to have mugshots.
Bob Holsworth is the president and founder at VirginiaTomorrow.com. Check it out. Lots more great information there, essays, observations about the political scene here in Virginia. Bob joins us every Monday afternoon to keep us up to date. Bob, thank you so much, sir. Always enjoy it.
Hey, same here, Coy. You take care. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a break for CBS News local news and weather. And when we get back, Delegate David Toscano live in studio. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
Tonight on The Best Seat in the House.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.